Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Since I'm a native who was born and raised in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's dive into these confessions of people I know and people I just met. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to this week's episode of the City Confessions. We are in season 10, and I am so happy to be joined by Kimberly Fisher. She is a professional freelance travel writer, blogger, journalist, and on-camera host. She has written for multiple vacations. I feel like I have traveled all over the world, but I'm going to hand her the floor. Hi, Kimberly. How are you? And welcome.
I am good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
I'm doing well. Yeah, it's January. I don't even know when we stop saying Happy New Year. I'm pretty sure it's now.
Yes, I think it's about time.
But I'm so happy you're on. I've been trying to get you on since last season, but I know schedules didn't really align and you're a busy bee. So I would love for you to introduce yourself. Tell us who Kimberly Fisher is and what you're up to.
So I am based in New York City right now. I am a traveler, a writer. I do, you know, go into TV and do some stuff on occasion. I am part of a tequila company called Costa del Sol, which I think a lot of people know about. So between all of that, it keeps me super busy, super grateful to have so much going on all the time, though. And I always seem to find the most fun people all the time, always having a great time and learning new things, which I think is what life is about.
I love that. I feel like you're so positive and you have this great energy. And I mean, I would like to also on air thank you for being so generous with your help throughout the years and all of my like milestones and like writing my book. And for anybody who doesn't know Kimberly, she's definitely the type of girl that you can count on, rely on. And it's like you just never disappoint, even though at the time we weren't even that close. So that speaks volumes of your character. And I would love to dive into that in a second. But yeah. Before that, can you give us background and tell us what is your relationship with New York City?
So funny enough, I moved here for a guy like 12, 13, 14 years ago. And we had dated long distance for a while. It made more sense for me to move here than for him to go to LA. So I moved here and it imploded in like 6 months. I might even be making it. I don't even remember because it's so long ago. And I think I sort of mentally block out this part of my life. But I was in a spot that I was like, okay. And like New York was hard for me to move to. Like I came from Los Angeles. My life was very like content there. It was like, you know, I lived in a nice area. We did nice things. We went to the beach every day. It was just, but it was not exciting. So I needed something a little bit different. So I got up and moved in the middle of winter after not seeing snow for so many years. And it was just hard with like, you know, the loudness, the traffic, the people, the coming and going, finding my way around, the housing situation. Oh, like I didn't move here after looking at like 20 apartments. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this is ridiculous. But after getting over all that, and I had a friend that also, she was from Jersey, lived in LA for years, moved back to New York, and she was here. And every day she's like, you're going to wake up one day and love it. You're going to wake up one day and love it. And it probably took me a year before I got to that point that I was like, okay, now I get it. Now I get what New York is. But it took me a while to wrap my head around it all.
But I want to know, you moved originally for a guy, but yes. You ended up staying for yourself, correct?
For myself, yeah. And just like a new experience. And there is an energy about New York that's nowhere else. And there's so much that happens here so quickly. Like, I feel like we're on a different time zone here because we move so fast. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because a lot of other people don't understand that. Like when you come here, decisions are made so quickly. Things happen so quickly here. And really anything can happen, which mm-hmm. is hard.
So I know that you have like a writing background. Did that start in New York City?
No, that started way back in LA, Vegas. So I've been doing it literally almost forever at this point.
So tell me about like the career transition once you got to the city.
So I was actually doing more marketing than I was always in freelance. I was working for magazines in LA and newspapers. And then I started doing marketing campaigns for different companies I was working for. And I noticed that, you know, and it involved a lot of stuff that I was really good at. It was a lot of travel. I was doing trade show marketing, meeting a lot of people, and the pay was really great. And it was flexible on my own schedule. So it sort of worked out that I could balance both. So I went into freelancing years before because it just was impossible to do both at once. And that just sort of actually put me in a really good position that I could pitch and work for whoever I wanted to. But at the same time, I still had like a steady income coming in that was on my own time, which but I feel like at the end of the day, the more skills you learn and the more things you're doing, it just makes you better at both of what you're doing. It's like the marketing comes in handy for the writing side. The writing comes in handy for all the marketing that I'm doing. So it all works out in the end.
No, I love it. And I feel like when I hear you speak, it sounds so easy. Right? You're like, yeah, I moved, even though it didn't work out, like I stayed. But tell me about like the first 2 years, like what was that like? Did you ever have a moment where you questioned, you know, your place in New York? And did you have thoughts of regret or wanting to move back to LA?
I mean, I feel like, so I'm an Aquarius like you are. And I feel like, yeah, we are very good with change and we're very good with being very flexible. And we know nothing's permanent. So it's like, I always think, what's the worst that could happen? What's the worst that could happen in New York? Okay, I hate it. Then what? Move somewhere else. Go to it. Like, nothing is ever going to be so bad. So I don't really do a lot of regret. It's more of like, okay, how are we fixing this? And how are we moving on? And so there's always a way around anything. So that was the mindset. There was many days I was not happy. The weather was miserable. The snow, the person yelling at me on the street, the cab driver screaming, like, always like, but you get over it. It's like you, I think your nervous system learns to adjust to it a little bit more. You figure out New York, you know, find your place in the city that like is your place. Cause you know, 20 blocks is a whole different world. So you find where you're comfortable. You find your people, you find your coffee shop and your favorite restaurants. And then it starts to feel like home. So.
That is such a great mindset to have of New York City. And when I was reading your bio, I actually had no idea that you had mindfulness certifications. So Can you tell me how did that come into play? How did you have that, I guess, interest in wanting to further your spirituality, I can even call it?
I think just being open and curious, like I'll try anything once. So it almost probably happened by accident, I would say. Like I've always done like yoga and like, you know, meditations and dropped into stuff. When I was in New York, I had a group of acquaintances and someone had sent out a message, like an email about a Groupon for Kundalini yoga. And they're like, to like 20 people. And they're like, oh, I just went to the studio. It's so great. We should all go. I was the only one that bought it and went. So I went, and Kundalini, when you first go, is a little crazy. You walk in, everyone's like in all white. It's a lot of chanting. And at first, a lot of people are like, okay, no, this is like a solid no. And they walk out. I was like, okay, this is interesting because you do it and you do feel a shift and you feel different. So that year I did teacher training, no intention of teaching at all. I just wanted to know more. So what better way to know more than to do yoga for 15 hours a day once? So I jumped in. I had a girlfriend do it with me. And like that, you know, and when you're around that, so now I'm with people that like are teaching me new things about like breathing and meditation and Kundalini, which is like so many layers and so, you know, so much depth to it. And then from there, you just like learn other things. And like now it's funny, I don't really write about wellness, but I get invited to a handful of wellness stuff, like retreats that are all over the place, super luxurious ones, very off the wall ones. And I go every time just because for me, it's a great reset. To just like, I just got back from Puerto Rico like yesterday and I'm in like it's a whole reset. So like, I feel like I'm a new person again. So.
Okay. Again, going back to your positive energy, I just feel like not that you haven't gone through struggles, obviously, but it's about like your mindset, right? It's always about, it's not what happens to you, it's how you respond to it. Absolutely. So is this something that you feel like, not that you were born with, but that you grew up in a childhood or in a household where that was ingrained in you, or was something that you sought out to kind of be like, no, I'm going to intentionally be positive. I'm going to intentionally, you know, shift my mindset. Like, how do you have this positive attitude, because I will say right now, I used to have that. And I think becoming a mom, I lost it in a way, just because I've been so overwhelmed. And I feel like we always have a default version of ourselves that we go back to. And we do the work and you get better. But it doesn't mean that just because you do the work that you're permanently going to stay here, right? So that's just like my situation right now. But I can see parts of me in you. But I would like to know, how did you get here and how do you maintain that?
It is like constant work, I have to say. It's like, I mean, growing up, you know, my mom is Asian, so I had that very Asian side of the household, which I wouldn't say it's very positive. It's more like very strict and very regimented. You just learn. I think it's definitely mindset. It's definitely putting yourself in that environment. But I was very stressed out last like September, October. I had so much going on. I was overextending myself, too many projects, too much work stuff. And I went to a wellness retreat and, you know, I have all the tools. I'm a certified yoga teacher. I'm certified in Reiki. I've done all this stuff. I know I have a morning routine with 15 things on it that maybe if I knock out two or three, great. But I know what to do, but you get disconnected. It's like, especially in New York. So I went to this wellness retreat and one of the things I brought back is like, wow, I am so disconnected from myself, from my body. And I was like, you really do have to physically and mentally take the time for yourself, schedule it out. And like, yes, that could be like, you know, doing your nails as self-care, or it could be like a vinyasa yoga class, but actually it could be just sitting on your couch with nothing and just thinking. Or reading something that's super inspirational, or being around someone that inspires you. I'm so lucky. I have the best group of friends that, like, obviously everyone has horrible days. They're like my ride or die cheerleaders. Like, I'll bring it up and they will come back at me with like, why it's not like that, why I'm thinking the wrong way, give me the best advice. It's like having that support system is so great to have. So just finding what it is that like refreshes you. And like, honestly, it's a lot of too with environment in New York. It's very easy to slip up into the let's drink every night, let's do this fast food, like having like a super clean meal, doing a shake, taking some supplements, you know, having quiet time at home, reading a good book, like doing something that's more internal than always like external stuff.
Ooh, you hit on so many good points. Like when you were speaking, I was like, ooh, this and this. I wanted to talk about the word disconnect, because I feel like that is a great word to summarize kind of personally what I'm going through and what other people might be going through, especially because it's January. It is such a tough month to come back after the holidays and kind of feeling like sluggish and just overall unmotivated. But I feel like it's a good way to look at it and say, you know what, I'm disconnected from my motivation, or I'm disconnected from my core. And I love how you mentioned about the people you surround yourself with, right? Because there's that quote, like, you are the five people you are with all the time. And that's so true, because the energy is contagious. And like, if you're getting fed these like negative energies or just mindset thoughts, like you literally consume them, which is insane. And then the last thing I wanted to relay back on was the simplicity of what you were saying. Like, sometimes you don't have to do all these grand things to kind of get back in touch with who you are or get into silence with your mind. Like, you can literally just sit on the couch. But even saying that, I know so many people are uncomfortable with that, or they'll do it for like a minute, and a minute seems so long. Like, it's like the longest minute they've ever experienced. So it's just crazy, because I feel like it's very timely with the season we're in right now.
So it's like, we're all energy and it's raising your vibe. So whatever brings you joy. And it's funny, I bought this journal I saw, and it was like very aesthetic, very pretty, has to be very minimal, but it had amazing questions in it. So we did a 2023 recap, and it was like, what were the highlights of your year? What brought you joy? Like, actual moments of joy. And when I went through and looked at all the photos of everything, it wasn't the big red carpet events. It wasn't the huge things. It was literally off the wall things that like press trips I would not have taken. Mm-hmm. And I did. It turned out to be amazing. One-on-one time, a lot of with nature, a lot of things like on the beach, in the ocean, and, you know, just doing, learning new things was huge. Mm-hmm. I went clay shooting and I was really great at it. That was like,
I did that before too. Yeah. I know, I'm good at it too. No, it is funny, because they say also when you're in this mindset of dread or just, you know, overwhelm and stress, just like, again, low vibes, once you practice gratitude, it like automatically raises your vibration. It's almost impossible for you to stay in this, you know, phase, like that low phase. So I think like that's
an app, and literally it is three things. It asks like two questions. Mm-hmm. It takes probably 1 minute. I try to do it every day if I can. Yes. So starting off on the right foot.
Yeah, I love that. So let's move from, you know, this whole mindfulness and wellness to just, I want to ask, what has been the biggest struggle in your life so far? And this could be career-wise, professional, or personal. I know that we've all had our like rock bottom moments, and it's whatever you're comfortable sharing. But what is that one moment you could talk about and like the lesson you've learned?
I mean, I feel like in every aspect of life, there's always like those moments happening. I feel like, you know, you wrote the book on dating, and I loved it because like dating is always going to be one of those conversation starters that everyone's going to have.
Yes.
When I was dating and like relationships and just like the way that people work together and communicate, I'm reading a book right now that is a preview copy called Secure Love. And it's all about attachment styles and how like how you grew up develops your attachment styles. And 50% of people in relationships actually have insecure attachment styles because of all the ways that we learned attachment when we were kids. And the book is funny because it lays out exactly like, and it seems simple, but no one does it because no one really knows and stuff like that. So reading stuff like that, but relationships, I mean, I went from Alaska to Vegas to LA. And like, it's funny, we talk about dating stories sometimes. I'm like, we probably all should have just written a book because it's just like, I mean, it's like drama, soap opera, like so many things that are so unbelievable that you would never think that.
Imagine.
This is, But yeah, I mean, you know, heartbreak is probably one of the worst things that could ever happen. You know, it's just, but learning to, you know, to go through that, you know, a handful of times, I think that was probably one of it. I had a fire in my place when I was in LA once, lost everything. Mm-hmm. Again, with the mindset, I was, it's funny, I didn't know if I was in shock or I was just like, okay with it, but I was actually okay with it. You just learn to go through things. And like, once you go through some big things, I feel like you really gain perspective on things, and then it helps you move forward a little quicker.
Yes, it's always like clarity in hindsight, and you always look back and say like, oh, I understand why that happened to bring me to where I'm at today. But exactly. It's so funny because I mean, again, I wrote the book, but I always believe whatever happens in your life, it's meant to happen, because I look at life as a book. Like you're at a certain chapter in your life right now, whatever's happening. You know what I mean? And sometimes it can be a really difficult chapter, but that's the whole point. Like, I don't want to read a book where it's like rainbows and sunshines. Like, I sometimes get so invested in a book where I'm like, oh my God, this character is like at their, you know, rock bottom. Like, what is going to happen? There has to be, once you reach rock bottom also, like there's only positive. You can only go up from there. It can't go any lower. So I try to look at that way, and like, that also detaches yourself from like your storyline, because I feel like sometimes, I don't know about you, but I'll be in my situation and it's easy to kind of like wallow in like self-pity or just be like, oh, like why me, or like this and that. But when you take yourself out of that and look at it from like a 360 perspective and a third person's perspective, absolutely, it's so much easier to be like, okay, I understand, I can, you know, go through this. Are you happy right now?
I am happy.
And how would you define happiness?
Happiness, I believe, is when your spirit is calm and you have that calmness about you and you just feel it. So, and it's, I think this is probably residual from this weekend. So it's like, I was around two people that I have never met before. We just absolutely clicked on this press trip. A PR person I've met and traveled with before. But we were, you know, we were in nature. We were eating super clean the whole entire time. We did a nature hike that was like a little tumultuous and dirty. And, you know, I'm like, you know, the New York City girl, but I was like full on muddy, jumped into a river with my clothes on, which I don't really swim. So this never happened. So but just like doing things that are outside of your comfort zone. And I think also I've pretty much let go of thinking, you know, doing things for other people and doing that. It's more like internal now. It's like, does this actually make me happy? Is this what I want to do? Like, yes, I have to go and host like this big event, but does that make me happy? No. So on my off time, I'm going to have one-on-ones with like my close friends or people that I really love and care about. Does this trip make me happy? No. So I'm going to go book my own and do this. Like whatever is like in the box I'm supposed to do, I actually am probably doing what is making me happy. And I think also being in conjunction with like your public persona and your personal persona, if it's together, you have less, butting heads there. So you feel at ease.
Oh, that everything that you're saying also resonates with being Aquarius. I feel like the identity, like we're very authentic. It's almost impossible and very difficult for us to be any other way and to wear a mask because it just doesn't sit well with us. And we're like the most rebellious sign and also like the most not creative. I don't want to say the most. I hate labeling it, but like one of the most creative signs. So you're literally an Aquarius, like to the T, which is like hilarious. But I know that we're in 2024 right now. Do you have certain goals that you want to talk about? And how do you even approach the year? Because you were talking about some of the joys that were brought to you in 2023 were like the spontaneous, saying yes and doing things out of your comfort zone. So you kind of go about the quarter with that attitude of whatever lands in my inbox, I'm going to, attack it and approach it when that comes? Or are you like, no, I'm planning X, Y, and Z?
I think it definitely has to be a mix. So I do both. So you can't really get to where you're going if you don't know where you're going. So actually writing it down and labeling it. So I have like great journals and notebooks that like sort of help guide me there. So one had everything broken down from like career, spirituality, like your goals, what do you want? And then by quarter. So I was like, okay, this is like sort of easy to map out like what I want to do. But yeah, I got the press trip to Puerto Rico like probably a week before and I read it and I was like, it was a definite yes. I got another one to another state that I went to last year and I was like, on the fence. So that was a definite no. So planning it does help. I think also, you have to put in the work and do the steps if you want to do something. So you can't just say, oh, I want to do this and sit around and wait for it to like show up for you.
Yes, I feel like the difference between dreamers and doers is that action piece, because we can always, dream and say like, I want to do this and this and that. And that's no issue with that. But right. It's like, what are you going to do about it? I remember in college, there would be these seminars and they would bring in all of these like intellects to come and speak to us about whatever topics. And every single student would walk away feeling so inspired, so moved. But they would always end it off by saying, like, once you leave this room, how many of you are going to just go back to your regular ways, or how many of you are actually going to take what I said and, put action? And Gary Vee talks about this all the time about like, I'm saying this video, but how many of you are doing the action? And it's so true, because it takes like that extra drive. And sometimes it's not always natural. Like, you have to just do it. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's like Nike's little slogan. Okay, so my podcast is called The City Confessions, and I would love to ask you, Kimberly, if you can share a city confession with all of us, what would it be? And I would like to preface this by saying it can be anything. It can be something like very surface level, like, oh, I like pineapples on my pizza. Or it can be something more like deep and heavy. Whatever direction you want to go, but what is a city confession?
So city confession, I think the secret is New Yorkers are actually really nice people and they're very helpful. I remember when I first moved here, I came up from the subway and I'm looking around and like, a little abrupt, but they're like, are you lost? Where are you going? Where do you think you are? Probably because I was maybe blocking traffic or something, but New Yorkers are very helpful. They are very caring. They bond together and stand up for each other. So that is a city confession. We're not what everyone thinks we are.
No, I love that you mentioned that, because it's definitely also an ego. Because when I'm on the train and I see tourists lost, I literally do step in and I'm like, excuse me. Where are you going? I'll see them looking at the map and I'm like, no. Okay. And I'll count the stops. I'm like, okay, you're gonna go uptown, you're gonna take 5 stops. Exactly. I'll like name the stops, and then like I didn't have to do that, but I'm like, listen, let me help these poor tourists out. Like, I got this and you're welcome, and I don't need them to thank me, but right. It's so funny you mentioned that.
New Yorkers are very helpful, I feel like.
Yeah. For sure. Okay, so we are wrapping up and I have a quick fire round of New York City questions and you could just answer them with the first word that comes to your mind.
Perfect.
So if you could describe New York City in one word, what would it be?
Energetic.
What is your favorite thing about the city?
People.
What's your least favorite thing?
Dirt and trash.
What's your go-to spot or restaurant?
Gotham.
And that was quick.
Oh, yeah. And, not even a question.
And if you can thank New York City for one thing, what would it be?
Backbone.
Ooh, I love that. That's a first. So thank you so much, Kimberly, for speaking with me and my audience. This is your chance to plug away. I'm going to have all of your information in the show notes, but if there's any secret projects that you're working on or just anything fun that you like to share, here is your chance.
There is a secret project I'm working on, but it's a secret. Yeah. Talk about yet. But it does have to do with the health and wellness space. It is something I personally am a huge fan of. So I'm all about the vibe. So years ago, I found a negative energy spray. Now it's not secret. So I am doing a negative energy spray. It's just essential oils, but it really does raise the vibe. And also like a shower spray. So, you know, turn your shower into a spa experience every morning. Start off your day on a good note. So that's the project. You can always find me on Instagram. That's the social media I use the most. Business, LinkedIn. I have a website, but not a lot goes on there. So
I'm here for that spray. And yeah. I love how this podcast was not scripted, but we did talk heavily on like wellness and mindfulness. So like what a beautiful way to circle it back to be like, hey, this is also what I'm going to be doing. So yeah, I love that. So everybody, thank you so much for joining us on this podcast. Again, make sure you click on Kimberly's links, follow her. She's an awesome soul to connect with. And I will see you all in next week's episode. All right, bye. Thank you so much.